so we're going to start actually in Jeremiah chapter 7. Kind of a history thing of the Jewish people as we go. We can start back at Abraham, but I'm going to start with Moses. The Jewish people are in Egypt, right? They were slaves. God sends Moses. Moses brings them out of slavery. As they're going through the wilderness, God gives Moses the law, the first of which is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. That's what Jesus told us. They come into the promised land first with Moses and then Joshua. Joshua helps them to get into this land flowing with milk and honey so that they're no longer people that are slaves, but they have their own homeland. For a while, they're under some judges that are kind of like prophet sort of people, but eventually the people say, no, we want a king. We want a king to lead us. So in comes first King Saul, then King David, who a lot of us know the stories about. King Solomon and Israel has risen up. It's become a lot stronger. They become a lot wealthier. But then Solomon was just a womanizer. Let's be honest. He had lots of women, and that was his interest. But he got all of these women from outside of Israel that had these foreign gods. Solomon kind of starts following them, lets the other people start doing it. And after that, they start getting into idol worship, going again against the law that God gave to Moses of, I'm numero uno, I'm God, and you don't have any other gods. But through Solomon, after that, they start doing it. So then the country gets torn into two. Some of the people revolt, and they say, we don't want to be part of David, Solomon's lineage. So they have the kingdom of Israel that was separate from the kingdom of Judah, which are the people following that. They go through the succession of kings that most of them are kind of evil. A few of them are kind of good. And this leads us up to the kingdoms are split, and God finally says, the kingdom of Israel, I'm going to judge first. And so those people were taken over, sent away from their country, it all falls apart. But kingdom of Judah was still left. And God said, look at Israel, see what happened. You guys still have the chance to turn around and follow my commands and follow my laws. And he sends a prophet named Jeremiah. So now we've gone through 1,000 years of history or so, leading up to Jeremiah 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, well, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury or lying, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we're safe. Safe to do all these detestable things? So here's a quick rundown of what he's saying. He says, Jeremiah, go stand at the doors of the church. He's not saying, like, go stand in Las Vegas or downtown Amsterdam or somewhere. He's saying, stand at the doors of the church and tell everyone who's walking in and everyone who's walking out for their prayer meetings or their Sunday morning church meetings. It wasn't Sunday morning at the time. But tell them, if you want to stay in this land, I've given you this land, but then truly worship me. Don't just walk in, say you're doing your worship thing, and then go out and be stealing, committing murder, committing adultery, lying, following these other gods. I've wanted to give you this land, but then you really have to change and do what you're doing, and you can stay. Now, as a lot of times we go, well, I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery, some of those things. Jesus later on talks about, well, if you've hated your brother, that's the same as committing murder in your heart. If you've looked lustfully at a woman or looked lustfully at a man, then you've committed adultery in your heart. I mean, we have those same problems maybe shown in different ways. And he is saying, look, stand at the church and tell the church people, really change your ways and follow me. If not, you're not going to have this land anymore. When you keep saying, you're following these deceitful words, you're listening to deceitful words, is there were prophets at the time who said, everything's okay. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. Be very careful of such people who always say, like, you know what, no matter how you live, everything's okay. This guy was like, no, that's not it. And the Jewish people said, but we have these promises from God that God promised to David that he would always have a king on the throne. So our kingdom will never fall. Or even God says, like, I will let you stay in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So they're like, well, we're going to have this land forever. Nothing bad can happen to us. And sometimes even today, we get in that mindset of like, well, we have these promises of God that everything's going to turn out okay. So no matter how I live, I can just walk into the house of God and say, like, the house of the Lord, I'm in church, so nothing can happen to us. Honestly, I come from the United States. That happens all the time, sadly. And I know that the United States isn't the only country that has, like, but we're mostly Christian, or we're a Christian nation, or look at how many churches we have. Why would God ever do something to us? And Jeremiah's like, no, you don't get it. So obviously the people did not listen to this and follow through. And so the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, comes in, takes these young men. Among them were four people who we're going to focus on over this weekend. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. If you don't know the four names by the end of the week, that's okay. And for all of the bad junk that's happening to these guys, I mean, no one really wants to be a hostage of another land, lose your manhood, and have to change everything about who you are and be called by a different name. But the one good thing that it says that they were given was the king gave them food and wine from his table. So if nothing else is good for you, you at least get good food in this new job of yours, which is being pretty much a slave to the king. If anyone knows me well, what's one thing that they know that I love?
Baked goods.
Baked goods. There you go. I love food. And so if I was these guys, at least I'd say, this is the one good thing going for me in life. I have good food. Maybe my parents aren't here to help me out with things. My friends, who knows what happened to them. I'm never going to get to play with my grandchildren, but at least I've got good cow meat. I'm going to have steaks. That'll make me feel better. Or chocolate. Or wine, or anything. This is the one good thing that seems to be going for them. Now Daniel, who at this time they were probably teenagers. And this verse in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, is probably the most important verse for the rest of the whole book. The reason why I say this is I don't think anything else in this book would have happened. No one would have ever written the book of Daniel. No one would know his name if Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, did not happen. Because it says, Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself. This is starting to show integrity that I said we're going to talk about. Who he was is he decided, he resolved in his heart, you know what? No matter what else happens, no matter how bad this gets, I'm not going to defile myself with these other things. I'm not going to turn away from what God has asked me to do. And we'll see how God works miracles in his life because of that, that he probably would not have had otherwise. If he would not have been deciding from the start, from when he was young, this is the way I'm going to follow. That included Daniel saying, you know what, I don't want to eat the meat and the wine from the king's table. And in my brain I go, oh, you have one good thing in your life. At least enjoy that. For some background on the reason why he wouldn't have wanted to eat it, God had given them laws that were pretty specific about the types of food that you could eat, could not eat. Cows were okay, pigs were not okay, sheep were okay, that sort of thing. If you're just getting the random food from the king's table, you don't really know exactly what you're going to be getting. So one of those was the, I don't want to have to ask every time, is there a trace of some kind of unclean substance in it? Another reason why is a lot of times food was sacrificed to the gods. Even we see that in the Old Testament for God's prescription of what they would do to him is a lot of times people sacrifice the food towards a god. Now he's in Babylon and they have hundreds of gods. And Daniel knows these will probably have been sacrificed to a god, especially the meats of it. So if I'm eating that, then that's sort of like I'm thanking an idol for what happened in that time frame. Paul talks about that later in the New Testament. We can talk at a different time about whether it's okay to eat meat that's been given to an idol in today's life. But at that time, that was a big concern. So Daniel says, you know what? I'm not going to eat the food. If there's one thing that political leaders know how to do, I think it's how to find good food. They may not make other good decisions, but at least they make a good decision on the caterer. Now, if Daniel has this mindset of, okay, I'm not going to eat this food, here are some of the excuses that people probably were telling him. Because around him, he wasn't the only Jewish person, right? He's not the only guy who comes from the same background. He has other guys who know him that were probably friends from the wealthy royal families. And they could say, Daniel, no one else is concerned about this. Why should you be? Do you ever have that in your own life? That there's something that kind of you feel, God wants me to do this? And if you tell someone else, like, man, I really feel like this is important, and they say, no one else really finds this important. No one else feels convicted about this. Maybe you're just being a little too, like, out there. You're kind of being the religious freak. Yeah, I have that feeling. Another thing they could say is, look, the law of God, if you looked at it, some of the things included making sacrifices at the temple and all that. That's, by the way, in Jerusalem that is going to be destroyed. Daniel, you can't keep everything. You cannot do it perfectly. No matter how much Daniel would have wanted to keep every bit of the law, they could say, look, you can't do it. So do you really think this one thing? You're trying to keep this part of what we should do. You can't do all those things. You're not in Jerusalem. You can't go there on your pilgrimages. Sorry, buddy. Why make such a big deal out of one little thing? And sometimes you have that, like, well, you can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. So why should I really try to focus on following God in sometimes the little issues, what we think are little? A third thing is the, you know, maybe we're looking at this from the wrong direction of, you're looking at the food and thinking it's bad. Perhaps this is God's blessing on us, because you realize, horrible situation, the one good thing we have going for us, maybe the food and wine is actually a gift from God. Did you ever consider that one? And this is probably the trickiest of all of those kinds of excuses, is because people get into that, ooh, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe God didn't really care about that issue, because this is actually, God is trying to be good to me. That's why this situation. So I could lie to get this better job, because this job is really God's goodness to me. If I just do something I'm not supposed to do, or to become a model, you could, I could get this awesome job with all this money, and I could give it to all the poor kids in the world. All I have to do is sleep with the photographer or something. Like, you know how sometimes we get those, if you just do like this one little thing, if you just play along here, then all this good stuff will come, and then you can use that for God. Then you can start caring. But maybe this is actually God's goodness to you. Daniel apparently didn't fall for any of those excuses that people tried to offer it. It says Daniel resolved in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself, no matter what they said. So Daniel wanted to live higher than the expectations of other people. And probably of everything that I'm going to talk about in this specific morning session, that would be my recommendation, is live to a higher standard than other people expect of you. Don't just get by on the, like, well, what can I get away with? Or what are other people going to see and know about? But it's the live to a higher standard. Be that kind of a person. So Daniel goes up to the chief official that's put over all these guys and said, Mr. Official Guy, please, can I not have to eat this meat and this wine? Please let me out of this. And it said that God had given him favor with this official, that somehow they had become buddies. He thought it was funny or something. And the guy says, yo, Daniel, I like you. You're a great guy and all. But King Nebuchadnezzar is not known for being a nice man. And if I don't give you this food and you start looking sick, then he's going to say, yo, what's wrong with that puny runt over there? And then I'm going to say, well, I haven't been giving him the food you told me to give him. And then he's going to kill me. So, Daniel, I like you. But no, I can't do this for you, because I got a job, I got family, I got kids to think about. I just can't help you. We'll see later, Nebuchadnezzar actually is this insane. He does like to kill people. So it makes sense that the chief official says, Daniel, sorry, you're a great guy, it's not a bad request, but I can't do it because I'm worried about myself. So Daniel gets denied. This is where he could have easily stopped and said, you know what, forget it. I wanted to follow this law of God, and I gave it a shot, right? I went, I talked to the guy, and he said, no, God, I did my best. Wash my hands clean. I tried. A lot of people would give up after, like, if I try once, then we're done, right? Perseverance is part of integrity. Persistence of saying, if I've decided I'm going to do this, even if there's one roadblock that comes in my way, I'm going to keep going. Sometimes people have this, like, oh, if I hit a roadblock, I'm just going to stop. You started good, but then, stop. That's not what integrity really is. Integrity will keep pushing on things. So then Daniel goes to kind of the underling guy. And he says, okay, if I talk to the chief official, the only guy over him is the king. I probably can't go to the king and say, the food you gave me, great, thank you, but I don't want it. I was talking to a girl from Africa. I can't remember which country earlier this week. And we were talking about when you show up at someone's house and they offer you food, even though you're supposed to say no, you're going to eat the food. You have to eat the food. If it's put in front of you, if that's like, do you want food? It's okay to say like no, but then they're going to give you food and then you're supposed to eat it. Middle Eastern cultures are also fairly similar. Like, you eat the food that's put in front of you. It's not nice if you show up and they offer you something, you don't eat it. That's being unkind to your host. So Dave's in a situation, you can't really go up to the king, to your host, and say, yeah, the food, sorry, don't want it. It's for a religious reason. That's why. It doesn't go well with my stomach. It's not going to work. So Dave says, I can't go up from the chief official, so I'll go one level down. And there's a guy who's just over me and a couple other people. I'll ask him if I can do this. And this is where we hear more about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, the three friends that Daniel had made, or apparently made. Because he goes up to this official, the lower guy, and says, can you give us a test? I don't want to eat this food. For 10 days, give us food that's just vegetables and water. That's it. Try us out for 10 days. If at the end of 10 days we look smarter and healthier than everyone else, then keep giving us this diet of vegetables and water. If we look like we're not doing well, then fine. Give us the food of the king. That's fine. Do as you will. But give us 10-day trial period. Now, they're going to be there for 3 years is the time frame that they're supposed to be doing the studies before they're going to go for this big test before the king. So really, 10 days out of 3 years, not such a long time. If I'm looking sick after 10 days and the king's like, why is he looking sick? I'm just like, came down with a cold or something. Like, you can get away with just 10 days. So I said, please, just give it a shot. Here's the important part about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Those guys had to be willing to go along with it. Daniel had this thing on his heart that I'm resolving that this is what I want to live like. And then he's talking to this guy who's over the four of them. If any of those other three say, what are you talking about? I don't want vegetables and water. This is lame. I want meat. Game's off. Daniel's request is not going to be granted because then the other three aren't going along with it. And if they start crying and getting more loud about, like, who came up with this idea? Daniel's probably going to get in big trouble with the chief official because he's going behind his back asking a second time. Or the king might just, like, kill all four of them just for the kicks of it. So all of them had to be in on it. Daniel must have talked to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael and said, guys, this is what I believe is important. Please do this with me. Are you a Daniel kind of person that if you have something on your heart that you're willing to talk to your friends about it? Do you have the kind of friends that you can say, this is something I need to be doing, and would you do it with me? On the other side, are you the kind of friend that if someone comes up to you and says, I feel like I should read through the New Testament in the next like 3 months, but could you like keep me accountable? Could you do it with me? Would you be the kind of person that would say, you know what? I'm with you. Even if this isn't my dream, this is what you had in your mind, and maybe I think you're slightly crazy on it, but I'll give it a shot with you. Maybe Daniel had to make the same 10-day test with them of like, guys, try it out for 10 days. If you really don't like it, we can stop, but try it with me. We're going to be this together. What kind of friend are you, and what kind of friends do you put around you? Do you put the kind of people around you that are going to go along, that when you say, this is something from God, let's go for it, that they'll kind of rise up with you. So this official guy says, you know what? Okay, I'll give you the test. 10 days. Let's give it a shot. This is a pretty gutsy move. If all you eat is vegetables and water, honestly, I normally don't feel as strong. I don't feel healthier most days. If it's like, oh, I'm just vegetables and water for 10 days, especially if I'm just water like that, I start feeling weaker. Daniel is pretty much coming up with a test that in the logical mind shouldn't really work. Like, I'm not getting any protein, but I'm going to be healthier and I'm going to look stronger when protein is what builds your muscles. So that part is crazy just in general. Like, are we going to look healthier and better because of that? The danger of including four other people of, you know what, if any one of those four people gets sick, probably the game is off and they're going to be like, see, that guy got sick. You guys maybe look better, but it didn't work for him. If any one of them gets tired of it and says, I hate this. I don't want carrots anymore. I'm not a donkey. Feed me food. Also, the game is off. So Daniel's making a gutsy move to say, after 10 days, we're going to look better. Especially 10 days is not a long period of time. I don't know if any of you have ever been the kind of people that like go into the gym to start working out. 10 days, can give you a start, but you're not going to go from looking like me to looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger in 10 days. It takes at least another 35 years for me to look that old. And Daniel said, just 10 days. We'll give it a shot. And after 10 days, the guy looked at him. He looked at these four, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. He looked at all the other guys and said, you know what? You actually do look better. You look healthier. You seem to be learning things quicker. I don't know why. I don't care why, but yeah, it worked. And then they said, okay, well then for the next 3 years, just vegetables and water. Sometimes we'll make kind of a little test of like, ooh, let's see if this works out. And at the end, if it works, we're like, awesome. And then we stop what we just did. Like, oh, I'm going to start reading the Bible more. I'm going to do that for a week and see what God does. And you do it for a week, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that was nice. And then you stop, like, keeping that habit. One of the things that we see in the integrity of Daniel is that he said, okay, it worked for 10 days. This was our trial. Now we're going to follow through. We're going to keep up with it. And then do it for the next 3 years. And then at the end of 3 years, they have the big exam, the big test. They come in before Nebuchadnezzar II, this king that's taken over your country and pulled you away from everything, and then you have to prove to him you're good enough. You got what it takes. I don't know how they did this test. It was like one at a time, or like they came in little groups. There was like a job interview. That's somewhat what it was. These guys are auditioning for a job, and depending upon where you are, is where King's gonna send you. He's gonna be like, you know what? These guys are kind of lame. I'm gonna send them to the far part of my kingdom where I don't care about them. Ooh, these guys are really intelligent. I want to keep them close to me. Depending upon where you get in, that's probably going to affect the rest of your life. Your job situation in life will be affected by this one time of talking to a king. Either you'll get a good job, or you're probably going to become a nobody somewhere out in no man's land. So Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael have their big shot, and they show up in front of them, and it says that the king found them to be like 10 times better than everybody else. 10 times better in their knowledge, 10 times better in language. These guys seem to be the very top. He said, you know what? I want you guys into my service more than any of the others. God made a difference of it. Them being close to the king ends up being important for the rest of these talks. But it all started with Daniel as a young guy saying, you know what? I will resolve that I'm going to follow God. Even in something that seems small, that I can make up 50 excuses for why this isn't important and not care about it. Is that I'm going to resolve, I'm following God, and I'm going to try to get at least a few other people with me. Maybe I can't convince every guy from Judah, we need to follow God, because we already saw what people in Judah were like. They would say, yeah, we worship God, we'll go to church, but otherwise they weren't changing their actions. He said, maybe I can't change everybody, but I'll get a group of friends around me, and we're going to do what God told us to do as much as we can. Maybe I can't follow every law, maybe I can't follow every rule, but I'm going to do what I can do. Food for thought.